Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. I'm 67 years old. I'm still doing landscaping because I have to because of those things. Anyway, but I do really heavy work. I don't look behind me. That's a wheelbarrow full of 150 pounds of fertilizer, which I got to put out in that belly busting thing. And normally, any other time, if I weren't taking the hemp work CBD, I wouldn't be able to move at the end of the day. So I'm telling you, it really works. It's really real. It's hemp works, like with an X, like Kathy with a K. It's good stuff.
Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much for your energy exchange with us today. And as always, we hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. Fortunate day also encompasses for us our good friend Sean Morgan. He's here with us today to get us updated. How you doing, Sean? What's up, brother? Everything good?
Good to be here. Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And thank you, everybody, too. Before we get Sean into his groove here and get us updated about what's happening, is if you haven't already, kindly hit the subscribe button, you know, turn on the notification bell and share. And remember, you'll be able to watch this episode completely in its entirety, uncensored, on spirituallyraw.live. And the links are always in the description below. So thank you and much love for that. And also Telegram is another great place. We're trying to limit a lot of these places where you're moving parts for you. So Telegram is a really another great place for you guys to just click on there and you'll be able to get notified when we get great guests like Sean on. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys are going to love this. Please share this video because it is going to be a full free video all about Sean Morgan, and he is going to share with us what is going on in the world. But first, if you haven't already, you notice that Sean has a new website. So make sure to go to seanmorganreport.com, join his newsletter. You guys will stay so connected to what's going on in the world. Sean is my news. That's how I get the news.
My news too. Yeah.
So I'm super excited, Sean. There's so much going on. Where do you want to start?
There is a lot going on. I mean, it's like, but the mainstream media, they don't even cover it. It's just a blackout. You know, they just keep the news focused on what they want, which is always the fear. That's what the cabal uses as their manipulation, their mind control, is keep us in fear, keep us like sheep, easily controlled. You know, like there's a new variant and there's murder hornets and there's fungus that can kill you. It's always some kind of thing, you know, to try to keep us in fear, but it's all fake. The reality is that they're trying to push these vaccine passports, especially in Europe, in France and Italy. They're also doing it in Quebec and Canada. And people are reacting to this. I mean, worldwide protests going on. You know, just a couple of weeks ago in the UK, I mean, there were just hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets. In France, you know, they were protesting for a year straight until COVID hit. I mean, that country is on the brink of doing a freaking coup and overthrowing the government. And the mainstream media acts like Macron has it all under control. They're really trying to push this vaccine passport. And they tried a really strict version where people weren't even allowed to go to the mall without proving that they had a vaccine.
No kidding.
Right. Basically trying to force people to, even if they want to buy clothes for their family or food for their family, that they would have to prove they had a vaccination. And because people protested so much, the president backed off and said, okay, you know, you don't need a vaccine to go to the mall, but you do to go here, 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 and here. But people keep on protesting. Hundreds of thousands. I mean, this is like a worldwide movement happening in Italy, in Greece.
You never know it, though.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't know how big it is unless you tune into the alternative media. I mean, I'm on Gab and Telegram, and I see these videos of the masses of people in the streets, and it blows your mind. And this is happening in Cuba. This is happening, you know, in South Africa has their own riots going on. So there are people's movements. South Africa might be a little bit of a different story because that's more of like that's the more the deep state trying to make destabilization there. But in Europe and possibly in Quebec, you know, places where they're trying to push this vaccine passport, people are reacting. It's a people's movement. And unfortunately, that's the only way that people will wake up. When they get so angry that the deep state is crossing their boundaries and violating their human rights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can't just have Trump and Q team just jump in and save the day and say, okay, we deserve all the glory. No, they want to give the people the ability to take credit for taking down the deep state. We're not going to do it alone. We have other allies helping us, but the people have to be a part of these things like the audits in Arizona and Georgia and so forth. The people have to demand these things, have to participate in them. And then they're going to feel like we did this instead of Trump did this.
What do you think? You were going
real quick. Because, and I think it was France. I'm almost positive. I don't know if you saw this or not, Sean, but there was a huge truck and they liquefied cow, we'll call them cow chips. And they literally had a fire hose and they were spraying the, I guess you would call it the Capitol there or whatever they reference it. I mean, and it was just, they were literally had the whole front end covered.
Protesters were doing this?
Yes. Wow.
Good for them.
Yes, exactly.
Good for them.
And, you know, it's funny they used cow manure because, you know, France has a huge population of farmers who have been reacting towards all of these different government, you know, things where they're trying to increase their taxes. They're really trying to just like they're doing in the United States, they're trying to make it so that the middle class and the people that really build this country and keep the country together so that they are broken down and not prosperous. The same thing's happening in France. So people are fed up with the BS and they're putting the BS right on the Capitol to show.
You know, let me ask you this, though. What do you think right now in America? Because you're right, we don't see a lot of that happening as far as on the media right now. But what do you think that we have right now in America that is protecting us from someone at this point that is protecting us from saying, okay, where's your vaccine passport? Right this second. So what is laws that we have or that protecting us that these other countries or don't have that they're going through that right now?
Yeah, we have a couple of advantages over Europe. One is that we have just the division between the federal government and the state government. So each state has its own governor, its own state legislature, its own, you know, population that has its own opinions and everything. So when you have 50 different states with 50 different populations with different opinions on these things, it's hard to just get everyone to support that kind of a thing. So, we have tons of Republican governors and Republican state legislatures and states where there are tons of citizens who will never stand for their rights to be trampled on. But yeah, we have the Constitution. That's the supreme law of the land. So that it's unconstitutional to require some kind of mark of the beast that you can't buy or sell without it. And it's so many different things. Like we have HIPAA, you know, this is the law that you don't have to divulge your private health information. So stores have no right to ask you if you've been vaccinated or not, because that's private health information. We have tons of laws on the books, federal and state level, that prevent this type of tyranny. And that's why it's been so difficult for them to pass it.
I want to ask you something, because I've been, you know, you walk into stores. And so like here in Florida, you see a lot of the masks have been removed. However, there's still those stores that are just, you know, they're saying stuff like, hey, if you've got the vaccine, come on in. If you haven't, put your mask on. Right. So if they do ask you, if the store manager or someone were to ask you, have they broken a HIPAA law? By asking you that question,
they have.
Yes, they have, and so you just don't comply, you know. And you notice you really don't have people asking. You know, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
I'm in Pennsylvania. Every single store has the exact same sign on that says, if you've been vaccinated, come on in. If you haven't been vaccinated, wear a mask. And yet there's no one saying, excuse me, sir, have you been vaccinated? Because they know they'd be breaking the law. They don't want to take on that legal liability. And so, you know, a bunch of people who are not vaccinated and don't want to wear masks like myself are just waltzing right in there and doing what they need to do and leaving. And no one does anything. It's so hard to enforce those rules. So, but they're still trying to do it in the US. The battle's not over yet. You know, we had the Veterans Affairs is the first major organization that's saying all the employees have to have a vaccination. So that's a governmental organization and it's unconstitutional and there's going to be pushback. And so, yeah, they're going to try in the US, but we have to stand up.
What about suing an employer? Couldn't they actually technically sue for that? Against human rights?
They could, couldn't they?
Yeah, you know, there's tons of things that the deep state has done. Like, look at what they did to Trump with social media. It wasn't legal. And so what's he doing? He's suing them. You know, we're going to have see in a court of law. And by the way, you know, I might be a part of the class action lawsuit because they deplatform me from all three of the same platforms. You know, same with you guys, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So right. I mean, they can try to do illegal stuff. You know, it wasn't legal for the governor of New York to stick COVID patients in nursing homes, despite all of the knowledge that he had about that. That was negligence. That was manslaughter. And so we have to hold them accountable for their crimes in courts of law.
Do you think that as we go through this process, like, for example, like we're hearing, I don't know if you've heard anything like on this, but that Biden is apparently trying to put together or whoever's trying to put together something to dispatch people to knock on people's houses and literally like a survey, you know, like ask them, hey, did you get vaccinated? Have you heard anything about that? Number one. And number two, if they do that again, is that something that is breaking the law from them doing it where we would have so we could basically be like, you know, get off our property or you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I heard the press secretary, you know, talk about how they're going to push this door-to-door effort to try to get so many people vaccinated. I do believe that they're breaking the law by asking about your private health information. And so, but the easiest way to keep people off, like they're not even allowed to knock on your door, is if you put a no trespassing sign at the beginning of your property, they can't even step on. So yeah, if they even come up to your door,
no trespassing.
And I knew that because I read Sean's newsletter. Everybody.
This is why we love having Sean on, because Sean gives you these really cool tips that really we can literally apply right now because that happens.
Sean,
I want to just finish this real quick. does that have to be, if that does happen, does that have to go through a Congress or Senate to be able to approve these people being dispatched, or can this be done at the executive level?
Probably they can try to do it at the executive level, but we have our weapons at our disposal, not real weapons. I'm not talking about physical weapons. I'm talking about legal weapons. Yeah, even if you put a no trespassing sign, you know, the postman might not even come on your property. He might just, you know, stick it in the mailbox and not be even willing to walk onto your property. So it's a really strict legal thing. Apparently, emergency responders, even if there's an emergency in your house, they won't even come in if there's a no trespassing sign. That's how strict of a law we have about that.
Wow.
Australia and Canada, how are they doing?
Unfortunately, they're even more compromised than the U.S. By the deep state, by China. I get updates from people, especially in Australia, who watch my program, and they just tell me, like, every day there's some kind of new, you know, police attacking people who protest. They're physically assaulting them. You've got politicians there who declared that they have allegiance to the so-called New World Order. It's not pretty. It looks like Australia is compromised by China a lot. And Canada's not much better. And Quebec is scary that they're pushing the vaccine passports there. So that's all I know about Canada and Australia right now.
What about these floods, Sean? Floods are everywhere, happening like massive floods.
Well, there are two explanations. Either they're man-made or they're God-made. If they're man-made, that's probably the deep state, you know, trying to destabilize. You know, that's why there are wildfires on the West Coast, because they start them. They, you know, do certain policies in California to make it dry. They do certain policies that Donald Trump has talked about a lot, about how they make it so hard to with the forest management to keep things in order there in California. So they purposefully create environments through their policies, through their actions, through their little mafia in the government and so forth and also literal weather manipulation through technology. So it could be part of that, that they're just trying to destabilize, because the more people are destabilized, the more people are poor, the more people have problems, the more chaos there is, the easier it is for the deep state to say, we can come in and save the day. We'll give you stimulus payments. We will, you just have to give us emergency, you know, authority and all of that. So the other option is that some of these floods, or all of these floods, are actually made by God. And God, you know, God did promise us that he wouldn't flood the whole world again like he did in Noah's day. But, you know, floods generally symbolize like a cleansing of evil.
You notice the weather patterns too, like in Florida, like it's July, and it doesn't really feel like July should feel, you know what I mean? It's significantly cooler. Mm-hmm. And then you notice that places that are significantly cooler are significantly warmer this time of year. Have you,
right.
I don't know if you've had any feedback from your audience or people that are watching you, or any comments on that one?
Yeah, and one of the big things is that there were all these fires on the West Coast, and the smoke has traveled all the way across to the East Coast where I'm at now. Wow. So in my sister's city of Boston, she took pictures, and it looks like a cloud of smoke right in Boston because of the smoke that came from the West Coast.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, so let's talk about everybody's favorite ex-president or current president or simultaneous president. So which one? There's thoughts and conversations about, okay, well, he's still a president and he is running a government side by side, and
like
just not seeing it because of the mainstream media. So can you help us to understand that piece, because we're just hearing it, and really help everybody have dissemination and some clarity of just so many moving parts being thrown around. Is he actually in some sort of official role as we speak now that you're aware of?
No, I'm not aware of any official role or official shadow government, but I see an unofficial shadow government. I see that Donald Trump is the most powerful politician, deal maker, power player, power broker in the world right now. He has just amazing support, you know, 90%+ support with Republicans, amazing support with veterans in the military. He's the one that's raising millions of dollars, and the Republican Party can't raise the kind of money that President Trump can raise. So to me, he is the Republican Party. Like, just him as a person is a political organization, a political movement is all concentrated. All of that political capital is concentrated in him. And what he's doing is he's vetting all of the Republican candidates that are running now and running all the way up until 2022. So whoever he says is going to get endorsed to run against people like Liz Cheney, that's who's going to run, and that's who's going to win. And so they will be loyal to him. And that's what he uses as a metric. Whoever's going to be loyal to the Constitution, to American principles, to America First, and ultimately also to him, that's who he will endorse. And that means that's part of his political party, his political movement, his faction. And this is going to be massive, especially in 2022. And I know people don't want to wait that long, but this is when we have a lot of major elections, and we're probably going to gain control of the House and the Senate. And I believe we're going to have control of the presidency by then as well, because it can be overturned. So I'm seeing a red wave. And of course, we have to fix the election integrity issues for us to even trust to even go out and vote again. We need to believe in the system. So between now and then, that's what I believe, that we will pass voter ID or some way to be able to trust the system.
How active do you think President Donald Trump is on a daily basis?
Like I said, because he has so much political capital, he has to do a lot of strategy. You know, I mean, there's the theory that, that Q kind of pointed to us, is that a faction of the U.S. military and the NSA and, you know, Space Force and Special Forces and all these military people, they could already be communicating with Trump and strategizing with him about things. But we know that at the very, very least, he's strategizing about his political role as power broker that I just discussed. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's trying to take down three big tech monopolies through this lawsuit. So, you know, Trump is so much more ambitious than we can imagine. Mm-hmm. When we think of one person and what they can do and who they can beat as far as their enemies, you know, our puny minds just think, oh, maybe I can take on, you know, Twitter. It's one of the biggest technology companies in the world. We'll just go after them. But he wants to go after Twitter and Facebook and, you know, and Google and all of these trillion-dollar companies. He wants to take them all down. And he wants to take down the entire Democratic Party. He wants to completely remake the Republican Party. I mean, this guy wants to transform our country and, in effect, the entire world. That's how ambitious his plans are. And so that's all he does 24 hours a day is figure out how to do that.
It's truly mind-boggling. When you think what one person is has accomplished and is attempting to accomplish with one body, two arms, two eyes, it's just mind-boggling.
And he's an executive, right? He's a CEO. And so the reason why he's capable of this is because he knows how to delegate to the appropriate people who have the skill set and the knowledge base. So, you know, it's not just Trump. It's his team.
Oh, yeah.
And his team is massive. We're talking about thousands of consultants who he, you know, he relies on them and their intelligence and their abilities. And so, you know, we saw what he could get done in the Trump organization over the decades. We saw what he could get done as president of the United States, which was, in my lifetime, I've never seen any president get done what he got done. So if he can do that, then he can do what his current goals are, which is to save America.
Will there be in 2024, 2022, whenever the next president, if you would, shows up? Will it be enacted under different laws, a different corporation of the United States of such, or, you know, will it be running in the same fashion as it is right now, you think?
Well, you know, we can take his last administration as an example, that he was not out there speaking like against the Federal Reserve. He was quietly behind the scenes folding in, you know, the US Treasury and the Federal Reserve and the money making abilities. So what I noticed that he and the White Hats like to do is do a lot of things behind the scenes. They'll do a lot of things quietly. He doesn't have to, you know, make a big announcement to the whole world, "Hey, we're changing the whole power structure." It's like, "No, all of these CEOs, look at Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and all of these, Warren Buffett, like literally the richest people in the entire world are all resigning from their positions as board members and CEOs of their companies because they're being forced into submission. This stuff is happening behind the scenes. And so you're not going to see a lot of big announcements, but you will see things happen that are going to make it obvious to you, this is not the same structure that was there before. And so, yeah, it gets a little complicated. There are people that literally believe that we have a different corporation. The old one was bankrupt and it was dissolved. I'm not necessarily buying into all of that. I will wait for an official announcement until I really believe it. But we've already seen, like I said, with what he did with the Treasury, that he does like to do these things and keep them quiet.
There are videos flying around this week. Basically stemming from one video where it's somebody who is high up in the military structure, who got information from a higher up in the military structure, and it's trickling down, that this something very, very big is now finally about ready to happen, and it's relating to the arrests. Not a topic I, you know, would be going down right now, but, you know, I am curious.
But you're going down.
Are we close to this yet, Sean?
Well, you know, I think of it less as mass arrests and more as a few key people that will really wake people up. Like if you look at Fauci, this is a guy who lied to Congress. You know, this is a guy who has made a million false predictions. First you wear masks, then you don't wear masks, and back and forth. And you know, this is a guy that it used to be we would say, let's fire him. And now there's a political movement with people like Rand Paul saying, no, we don't want to just fire this guy. We want to indict him for criminal charges. And he's talking about it in front of Congress. And so this is the kind of person, you know, it could be him, it could be Bill Gates, people at the center of this type of pandemic that could be going down publicly. And when that happens, it's going to wake up millions of people, and it's going to make people more willing to go along with future arrests.
Speaking of, you know, I want to ask your thoughts on this, because when you think about the protests and you think about all these people, hundreds of thousands of people really out there, just really knocking on the door of a few, nothing seems to get done, right? What do you think we need to do? Is there anything in your, in the sense of, for example, I mean, there's a lot more of us per se than there is of them, right? What seems to be really the problem? Is it that we need to be more successful with as just general, as a population? Do you think maybe we need to really start taking very close look at like a local militia concept of sorts and really push hard at that level? I mean, what do you think we're missing? Because there's a shit ton more of us that numbers don't lie, that could technically, you know, bust,
take over
anywhere world, I would imagine. Would you Am I on par on that one?
Yeah, Sean? Yeah, we are the majority. And that's why CNN's ratings are in the toilets, because no one even wants to watch that garbage. If you look at the town hall meetings for Joe Biden, he can barely get a couple dozen people to show up. When he streams something online, he can barely get a couple thousand people to watch. And then Donald Trump does something and he gets millions of views. So we are the majority. We just have to. And I think the main word is local, less of a focus on militia and more of a focus on local. It won't even take a militia to get our country back. Mm-hmm. It just takes local involvement. Like in the town where I'm at in Pennsylvania, they're trying to make children wear masks to go to school. Mm-hmm. And the only thing stopping them would be if a bunch of parents showed up at the school board meeting and said, no way, not going to happen under my watch. But so there's so few people who are willing to stand up and let their voices be heard. That's what we need more of. And that's what you hear people like General Flynn, everywhere he goes, that's what he says. Like, get involved locally. We can't be asleep at the wheel. We can't delegate our authority to these politicians anymore. We have, as parents, as citizens, we have to get involved at a local level.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts, Sean, on the currency movement right now as far as that? So people are very concerned now about, you know, hey, is it good for me to be in digital? Do I need to get out of digital? Because maybe that's the deep state's way of tracking me and they can trap me and not let me make money and not let me sell it. There's all these different moving conversations mm-hmm. there. Go to silver, go to gold. I mean, what's your opinion? I know we've asked you this before on previous shows, but as we move along the road timeline here, where are you looking at now as far as that whole, the currency moves for people?
And before he answers that, because it's going to lead right into it, I sent you an email. I don't know if I had a chance to look at it. Somebody posted it on the Telegram channel. They took pictures of, they were just happened to be at, I think it was a Citibank, and they were taking the old ATM machines out and putting new ATM machines in. And they were talking to the mechanics that were doing it. And they said, yes, we're doing this because we're getting ready to implement the new dollar, which they are calling it. What are they calling it?
You said in the email it was USDT, like treasury notes.
Right.
Well, you got your email.
Yeah. Other than my email, have you heard anything about that, Sean? I mean, because there were pictures that went with it.
No, I didn't get anything from anyone else. But I think if we had that massive of a change, we would start to see a lot of reports from in a lot of different areas, from insiders, from people making observations. Just in general, I think, you know, since I'm not a financial advisor, I don't give any specific advice, but I think it's so good to diversify. Like, you can't have all your money in cash. You can't have all your money in digital. You can't have all your money in crypto or gold or whatever. You should have your money diversified across different asset classes. And even if you're in like one, even that should be diversified. So if you're in crypto, you should be in Bitcoin and Ethereum. If you're in precious metals, you should have silver and gold. You know, if you're in stocks, it shouldn't all be in one company. So just diversify, diversify, diversify. And that's going to protect you no matter how things play out. But just in general, as a general rule, I like physical assets during this time of confusion, because probably the way this Great Awakening goes down, there's going to be a level of chaos and there's going to be a level of the markets getting scared. And when that happens, you have, you know, the prices go down, whether that's the value of stocks or what have you. But if you have, you know, your house, you know, that's that makes sense, that that's an asset that's serving you. It's a physical asset. You know, so I really like real estate. I really like precious metals. I really like things that are, you know, tangible and you can touch them and you know you have them and you control them. And even Bitcoin is nice because you do control it a lot more than any other asset because you control the private keys. But there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. You can also lose your private keys. And so, you know, that's why I really like diversification. So you're not putting it all in one place.
The real estate market as a good asset, what's your opinion? Are we in a bubble though, possibly right now?
Yes. Well, real estate prices are rising in the fastest they ever have. And that's scary. When I mean, it's nice when you're a homeowner and your property is worth more. But, you know, the rule is you're supposed to sell when things go up and buy when they crash. So a lot of people might be deciding, hey, the prices are going up so much, this might be a nice time to cash out. Is it a bubble? Yes, but so are stocks. So there aren't a lot of other places to put your assets. Mm-hmm. Now, precious metals are undervalued. They're not in a bubble. So that is a really nice option as well.
I gotcha.
What about the audits, Sean? Where are we at with that?
Well, the group in Arizona that did the audits, forensic audits, they gave an initial report and they just gave a little taste of what they found. And it was just rampant fraud. It was enough weird, you know, situations with ballots that could or couldn't be, you know, valid ballots that it would in itself, in that one county, could overturn the entire state to Donald Trump. So that's just the initial findings. They haven't opened it up to show everyone. There's still political infighting. There's still Republicans who are stopping this process from moving forward, these deep state swamp rats. Mm-hmm. And they're getting exposed. You know, Trump's calling them out. The public is realizing who they are and what they represent. And so this is good. We're shining a light on the actual people who are trying to steal our country, and they're not just Democrats. So the more that light is shined, the more we're waking up, the more we're identifying the problems where they are. And so we just have to keep watching it unfold and watching it play out. This stuff is kind of slow, you know, this political stuff, it really does. And legal stuff, it can move very slowly, but
feels have turned a corner though. Energetically, it feels like we've turned a corner.
Do you feel that way, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, even if you interview and do surveys of Democrats, they acknowledge that there was fraud in the election. So if it's like something like 51% of Americans believe there was fraud. So it's not just Republicans who believe there was fraud. So yeah, people are just waking up. The more and more and more, you know, the evidence comes out. Remember, that was the big talking point from mainstream media. There is no evidence. Well, now we have forensic evidence. And so they can't say that anymore. It doesn't make any sense. So the more people understand the evidence, the more they wake up and wake up. And so it's going to come to a crescendo. There's going to be a point where these states have to decide, are they going to decertify the results? And what does that mean for the presidency? And that's the new talking point from the mainstream media, is that it doesn't matter, even if there was fraud, we can't change the result of the election. I mean, they have no legal proof of that statement. It's just a lie that they keep repeating over and over again. But you have many legal scholars that completely disagree with that and believe that we've done it before with Congress people, and we can overturn elections and reinstate someone new. And I personally hope we have a new vote where people have a voter ID and we have you know, we don't use Dominion voter machines, and we go there and we vote again. And we vote probably, you know, Biden won't even be running for president by that time. Do you see how much the mainstream media talks about getting rid of Biden because he's too senile? They want Kamala Harris or somebody else. Probably they want Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in the White House or Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, there's such a small club of people that they really want in power. And so when we do a revote, that's what's another possibility that could happen. It'll be really interesting when they can't do a fraud. What the results will be. That'll wake up a lot of people. If it turns out like 90% for Trump and 10% for Kamala Harris or something like that, then it'll really wake up people.
You know what's interesting? Kim Clement, everyone very familiar with his prophecy about Trump. They would, you know, God would put Trump in the White House for two terms, but he never said back-to-back terms. So that prophecy...
still is in play.
Yes.
That prophecy still is in play. Hey, did you hear anything? There was a video.
That's still a probability.
We had out, I think it was on Pimpy. Yeah, Pimpy from mm-hmm. Pimpy's Investment Chat. He had a video that he put out, and it showed a video of two people on Capitol Hill that were filming, and they saw the motorcade leave, Biden leave. But right when they see that leaving, they see, you know, it's just a little flurry of different security, right? But there was something over the loudspeaker that said, something along the way, like make way for the Trump Kennedy party.
Trump Kennedy.
Or release the Trump Kennedy party is what's there. I don't know. Have you heard anything about that at all?
I mean, I actually did hear it.
Or maybe it was something you wanted to hear.
I heard it on video. There was
I didn't see that one. I obviously Pence is not going to be a part of this future administration, you know. So I don't know whether he stabbed Trump in the back or whether he followed orders, you know, because maybe he was always compromised and they were just controlling him. But it'll probably, you know, be someone like Ron DeSantis or Paul Gosar or one of those people who's proving themselves, because this is the way Trump works. And by the way, this is also how God works. You know, God tests us and tests our moral fortitude to see what our allegiance is. You know, is it to Satan or is it to God? And Trump actually uses a similar strategy. He forces people to show if they have their allegiance to him or not. And it can take time to play out. There are many people like Pence or other people who seem to have that allegiance to him for a long time, but then at the last second. And we saw this in January when you had these people that Donald Trump was campaigning. The only reason why they won their elections because he campaigned for them. And then they stabbed him in the back and certified the results for Biden. And mm-hmm. so he found out, you know, that they were enemies, that they were not allies. And I believe that he will choose a running mate that has proven themselves through this entire saga, and that person will be not only the most loyal but they'll also be the most capable. And so because Trump's older, we don't know how long he will last, and the vice president will be a very important person. He will probably, in my opinion, he'll probably be the next president after Trump. I probably the vice president will be the president after him, whether he dies or whether he just decides that he's not going to run again or retire or whatever. So this is going to be an important person. I don't know who it's going to be, but you know, Ron DeSantis is high on the list. Donald Trump Jr. has also been groomed to be president because he's had the most social media influence of any person. Ivanka has almost no social media influence. She is not being groomed to be president, but Donald Trump Jr. is. So he could be another one.
So he could be the Trump that could be Clement's second term, right? So that's possible
true
too.
Because
it was a Trump.
You know what? That is a good point too. Because so it could be that. Right?
What do you think about the backstabbing there? So there's talks about the actual family, like Ivanka and Jared, actually stabbing, you know, Papa Trump in the back. Is there any thoughts for that, or was that just, you know, rhetoric out there, gossip?
It's hard to tell. You know, it is very complex. There are basically a couple of different options. One option is that Ivanka and Jared are just staunch loyalists. They always have been loyal to him. They always will be. And this is a story that they allow that story to go out there and to be in the mainstream media, to for the deep state to push that story, because they like the fact that there's confusion, right? Mm-hmm. They like the fact that the deep state doesn't know, are they loyal, are they not loyal? And so that could be one option. Another option is that they really are not loyal. You know, they were Democrats. The Kushner family is not exactly the cleanest family in the world. They have deep state ties and everything. And so perhaps Jared Kushner is not loyal to President Trump. And so Jared failed the test that I was just talking about of loyalty. And so Donald Trump will now be able to make decisions based on that failed test and be able to replace him with someone who he can trust. So either way, it's all good for the White Hats. It's all good for Team Trump. It's all going to work out.
What do you think, Sean, about these? If you can help give people a sense of peace, if you would, for a minute. So you get a lot. There's still a lot of stories, and there's a lot of people that just do not seem to want to let go, and their lives are hanging on the fact of they're not moving forward because there's going to be a shutdown that happens. They're not moving forward because there's an emergency broadcast going to happen at any time where everything shuts down and things like that. Are we going to, as this comes out, are we going to really experience any of that? I mean, is it going to be that dramatic where, you know, boom, hey, go out there, grab as much food as you can for this certain amount of period? I know we've talked about this before, use discernment and obviously have, you know, due diligence and stock your house up anyway. But just in general, I mean, is that being overplayed from your opinion?
Well, let's look at what already happened. We already had the Colonial Pipeline was hacked and people all over the East Coast couldn't get gas when they needed to. We had the American meat companies, the largest one, hacked, and we were just days away from half the country not having meat. You know, we are in perilous times. You know, this cyber warfare is serious stuff. And as this amps up and our enemies get desperate, they will try to shut down our grid, or they might try an EMP, like one of these pulses that tries to shut down electronics and the grid. So it could be that we lose electricity. It could be that we lose the internet. It could be that we lose both. We could lose the ability to even use our electronics. So I think we need to prepare for that. And like, let's just hope it doesn't happen. But if you do prepare, you know, like, just once again, a couple of basic things you can do for this electronic stuff. You can have a little solar kit, you know, like I have a little solar panel. It's this big and I can charge some basic devices with it and it costs $60. So, I mean, it costs almost nothing to prepare for these types of emergencies. And I can charge a shortwave radio. So if the internet is knocked out, if the telephones are knocked out, I can solar charge my shortwave radio and I can communicate all over the world with that thing. So, and those things cost $20 each. So, you know, $60 solar panel, $20 shortwave radio. And I already prepared myself and my family for one of these possible events. So, I think families should prepare anyway for independence from the grid.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you thinking then, just in a recap then, as we go through 20, so as far as we are in 2021 right now, as far as any possibility of like an overthrowing or anything, we're really looking at 2022 before that could happen. When we look at the midterms, is that when that possibility would rise up again?
There's some people and some analysts who really believe that this will really come to a crescendo when the results of the audits, you know, really come out. And that could happen in 2021.
That could happen.
There are other people like myself that really think even if that stuff comes out, you're going to see more of a transformation happen in 2022 with the midterm elections. I think that's why Trump keeps on repeating over and over and over again about 2022. He talks about us taking back the House. So I don't necessarily think that 2021 is the year. I've kind of learned my lesson to that politics, it takes a lot longer than you think it's going to take. So, you know, a lot of people do believe it's going to happen in 2021, but I'm leaning more towards 2022. But the thing is, I'm personally not willing to wait until 2024 for this election and presidential thing to be straightened out. I think as Americans, when we watch that election get stolen, it violated our sense of decency, and we shouldn't have 4 years of patience to fix that problem. We should be so angry and so outraged that we demand a change to our election system before the next presidential election.
You know, I think whatever your political belief is, Democrat or, you know, I mean, I there's just every sense of humanity can every sense of reason would show you that this was fraud. I mean, it just was right in front of everybody's face. I mean, I think a real decent human being can really, I think, should, you know, at least take a look at that seriously. You know, and say, hey,
it's really about rationality. You know, because if you just look at the results on a graph, you know, it just any data scientist will tell you that it's not organic, it's not natural. So
hopefully people wake. Maybe this is our great awakening. Maybe everybody wakes up.
And just imagine how the whole world will change if we have non-fraudulent elections. Like the deep state could never win an election again. So that changes the power structure in itself.
Because if it doesn't change, I can't imagine people would even want to go out and bother voting again, would they?
I wouldn't.
No.
Why bother? I mean, your vote technically in this scenario did not count.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yet.
Hey, on that high note, my brother, what else is going on? It's good to see you and, you know, everything well in your life?
Yeah, everything's good with me. You know, it's been good to be in the United States and to experience life here because it is a lot more open than Brazil. In Brazil, there's a lot of masking requirements, whereas in Pennsylvania, I don't ever need to wear a mask here. So, you know, it's been really interesting to be able to compare the two countries.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. So, well, my brother, it's always a privilege and an honor to get to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your insight, and everybody to get Sean's wisdom and insight, SeanMorganReport.com. He does got some pretty kick-ass newsletter. So, so I think a lot of people are enjoying them. So thank you very much for having us in your home, as you always do. And we will see you next time.
And together we are turning the universal key to global harmony and creating a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings. I'd like to share a story. While it may sound fictional, it's very real and happening right now in front of our very eyes. It's called The Great Awakening. Our sisters and brothers that come on Spiritually Raw are doing everything to help expand global consciousness, and in many cases, putting everything on the line to share their messages about what's happening around the world for the greater good of humanity, while exposing the truth of the deep state and the dark forces behind it all. We are living in the most unbelievable times, some may even say biblical, scary for many and yet exhilarating for others. Together we are taking part in getting everyone acclimated to the Great Awakening process and the exciting new discoveries that lie ahead. The sad part is many of our amazing guests are being heavily censored, socially shamed, and outright banned on many platforms for exposing the truth and piercing the veil. By becoming a viewer, you bring your powerful energy towards this global movement of other truth seekers. If you're resonating with our show, please let us know by hitting the like button, sharing, subscribing, turn on the notification, and leave some comments. Together, we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Thanks and God bless Patriots Worldwide.